exactly like my copy. It's page 925. I don't know if you've got a copy like mine. My Bible is falling apart. They say that when the Bible is falling apart, maybe the man's not falling apart. So I've had this 6 years, and I mentioned that in a sermon this past week, and somebody ordered me a new Bible. It's coming in, I guess, maybe tomorrow. It's a brand new old Scofield Bible. I like the old Scofield. I'm just so thankful that somebody was watching online and ordered me a Bible. An evangelist ought to have a Bible. And I already had a Bible ready to go, but now I'll save it a little bit longer. I got an A.W. Tozer study Bible I was going to go to next in my public preaching. You know, I usually try to have me one pretty nice preaching Bible. And I've used this one for 6 straight years. Have had it rebound twice. And it's just going to fall apart, looks like. Hosea chapter 4 is where you turn it. Let me mention the CDs for a moment back there. If you want a prayer card, they're back there on the table. New prayer card. Wish you'd pick one up and maybe put it on your refrigerator so you can pray for us. And Safely Home, it's actually 2 CDs inside this. There's 30 songs on that little package back there. The title song, Safely Home, that the choir sang this morning. And a new one back there is called Sing Praise. Got 18 fellas. We all converged out there in Indiana, and all these fellas are preachers and music directors, doing a good job. And then brand new for the children, Bible Stories for Kids, Volume 5. We've got 12 different CDs for children now. We've got 7 that are songs straight out of the Bible. And then we've got the stories of the Bible, beautifully dramatized, all the underscore music and so forth going on, and always a presentation of the gospel of Christ. There's always cut number 3 on these, an Old Testament story, a New Testament story, and then a presentation of the gospel. And we've got a coloring book coming in just a few more days for the children. It's really a gospel track disguised as a coloring book, and we're trying to get the gospel out. I'm working with a gentleman there in Virginia. He's buying $30,000 worth of toys. We're going to have a toy giveaway in the western part of Virginia. And you have to sign up. You have to bring a parent to it. And we got certain hours for different people. And we've got lots of rules. You can't go through but one time and all that sort of thing. We'll have a lot of children. This is, I think, the 5th or 6th or 7th year that we've done this. And we always see people saved. And we try to matriculate them into our churches. And amen to all that. Directly after this service, sometime shortly thereafter, I want to meet with you that if you're interested in helping in the local election here. I signed up as a sworn election officer in Virginia because I think we ought to make it easy to vote but hard to cheat. And out of our churches last year in Virginia, we recruited 1,372 poll watchers. 1,372. And a few months ago now, back in May, a big lawyer called and said to me, "Brother Fox, I'd like to take you out to lunch." I said, "Well, that's one of my favorite meals of the day." "Yeah, I'll go eat with you." And we got there. He said, "Brother Fox, I work as a lawyer for election integrity." I said, "Well, let me tell you what we did last year." He said, "I already know what you did last year." He said, "I know about all those poll watchers and the 100 sworn election officers you recruited." He said, "They were as green as grass." I said, "Yes, sir, we. He said, "But they made the difference in Virginia." And we've had at least one arrest now of someone who is dishonest and got caught. And it's wrong to cheat. Did you know that? And if God's people don't get involved in every area, we are to be salt and light everywhere. And so I want you to consider helping with this, because North Carolina's in trouble with God. And that lines up with the message today. Hosea chapter 4, Israel was in trouble with God in this chapter. Today's message is a message of warning. Now, I really am. I'm happy to be saved. I'm happy to be in church today. I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be serving the Lord. How about y'all? Amen. Oh, yeah. But now, there are warnings in the Bible. And this is a message of warning to the country of Israel, and it applies to America. Here it is, Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy. Notice that word. The Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. And everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, and the beasts of the field with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Down to verse 7. As they were increased, as the country prospered and increased, as they were increased, the nation of Israel, as they were increased, so they sinned against me, God says. Therefore, God says, therefore will I change their glory into shame. Now this is Hosea. Hosea's preaching. And the people of Israel did not like the preacher. Now, preachers, we want to be liked by people. You know, how many of you want people to like you? Well, all of us, we want people to like us. If you want everybody to hate you, you're weird. That's odd. That's bizarre. We want people to like us. We want people to think well of us. We want people to, even some of them, to love us. But Hosea, the people didn't like him. In fact, they said he's a gloomy preacher, preacher of doom. His name, Hosea, his name means salvation. What a wonderful name and a wonderful meaning. And Amos and Isaiah, they were preachers right along the same time as Hosea, all three of these fellows, Amos, Isaiah, and Hosea. They were all preachers at the same time. They were trying to minister to the people. And his ministry, Hosea's ministry, basically was between 782 and 753 B.C. And he wanted the people to do something. What did he want? He wanted them to repent. He wanted them to get right with God. That was his burden. And he reminded the people that God loved them. Now listen carefully. God loves everybody in this room exactly where you are and exactly the way you are. God loves you exactly the way you are, but He loves us too much to leave us exactly where we are. God wants us to take another step with Him today. He wants us to get closer to Him today. Everybody in this room, everybody, all of us, me, you, all of us, should take our next step with the Lord today. Amen. If we'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. And I want our church, Faith Baptist, to be close to God, don't y'all? Oh, yes. And so Hosea, he reminded them of the love of God. But I'm going to tell you, the people didn't like him. And I want you to notice this message. It's an expository message this morning. I've got 6 D's for you. If you come home with a report card and say, look, Dad, 6 D's. That's not good, okay? But we've got 6 D's. D number one, God's demand to be heard. In verse number one, God is demanding to be heard. In verse one, the first few words, hear the word of the Lord. God is speaking to people. God is always speaking to people. Look, how does God speak to people? Well, through the Bible, friends. Through the Bible. If you want to hear from God, get this book out. I heard from Him this morning. I'm reading through the book of Judges. I try to read through the Bible every 38 or 39 days. I try to read 2 hours a day, and it takes me about 75 to 80 hours to read through the Bible. Now look, you read this book and God will speak to you. He speaks to people through the Bible. I'll tell you how else He speaks to people is through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will rebuke you and draw you and point point you in the right direction. The Holy Spirit's always pointing to Jesus. Oh yeah, God speaks to people through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit. And God speaks to us, praise the Lord, through His preachers. I'm glad our preacher gets up here and preaches the Bible. Amen. Two-thirds of America's preachers do not believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. That's a fact. You want to know why we're in a lot of trouble in America? There's a lot of reasons, but one reason is we've got at least two-thirds of America's preachers are not even saved. If you don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. And out of 384,000 churches in America, out of 384,000 churches in America, only 107,000 say they believe that Jesus bodily rose from the grave. Okay, so we're in trouble. Just like Israel was in trouble because they weren't hearing from God. God expects to be heard. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." God expects us to listen to Him. Jeremiah 22:29, unusual verse. Use the word earth three times. It goes this way. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And I'll tell you something, friends. God will be heard. You mark it down. God will be heard. He's going to have the final word. A man may leave God out of his life, try to ignore God, but ultimately, God is going to have the final word. Because this is what the Bible says, Romans 14:11. It is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Amen. So, there is a God. He spoke the whole universe into existence. He's the one in charge. And whatever God says, you and I need to listen to it, need to hear it, listen to it, and need to obey it. Now, in chapter 4:1, Hosea's preaching, and he says this, hear the word of the Lord. Number one in our little outline, God's demand to be heard. Number two, there's a documentation of a relationship. This relationship is documented. A documentation of relationship. It's beautiful. In verse 1, notice how much God cares for these people. In verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. Then it says this, ye children of Israel. God says, my children, listen to me. Hear the word of the Lord. Ye children of Israel. It's a name of affection. The Jews are God's chosen people. Every day at lunchtime, my wife and I have a little routine. We have a little discipline that every day at lunchtime we pray for Jerusalem. We pray for our city of Newport News, Virginia. And we pray for Jerusalem. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Israel is surrounded by 21 nations who can't stand them. There's a lot of people who hate the Jews. I'm not one of those. I'm a big fan of the Jews. That Abrahamic covenant, where that if we'll bless Israel, God will bless us. I want America to keep standing with Israel. I'm pro-Israel, friends. And I want God's blessings on my country. I'm not a Jew. But I'll tell you something right now. I'm a child of God. I got in on the family. I got grafted in. I got adopted in. Over 50 years ago, I received Christ as my Savior. And now I'm a child of the King too. Hallelujah. But God's talking through His man, Hosea. Hosea's up there preaching, hear the word of the Lord, ye children. Oh, you marvelous children, you children. You know, Israel had a unique relationship with God and still has a unique relationship with God. But think about our country, America. We've had a unique relationship with God. You just think back about our nation. No other nation other than Israel has so deliberately identified with Jehovah God than our country. No other country's identified more with God than we have other than Israel. Our money says, in God we trust. Everybody tells me how bad America is. I'm glad our money says, in God we trust. I'm glad we have freedom of religion. I'm glad for the Constitution. Some general this year said that preachers ought to preach the Constitution as much as we preach the Bible. I say a big no to that. I'm not going to preach the Constitution, but I carry a Constitution with me. I've got one in my pocket right here. You know, I carry this with me. I like it. I like the Constitution, but I love the Bible now. This gave me a little measure of protection. It's this right here that changed my life. Amen. Going to make much of the Bible. But you think how America has identified with God. Very first battle of the Revolutionary War. Who fought the first battle? Who fought against the British? Pastor Jonas Clark took 70 of his churchmen out to face 700 British. The British had been shooting at people and doing some pretty nasty things to the citizens. They're in Concord. And Pastor Jonas Clark had told all of his men, bring your weapons to church every service. We don't know what's going on. It's getting bad. Wow. He told his deacon, Parker. Deacon Parker, you train all of our men so they can fight like a militia. And then Jonas Clark took the Bible and said, look, if we go to war, he said, it's looking like it's going to go that way. He said, I want to tell you people, according to the Bible, we cannot fight an offensive war. But according to the Bible, if they shoot at us, we can shoot back. That's what he preached to them. And the 70 men with single shot muskets went out there. And that's what they had over on that other side. But that other side, those 700 of them, they got to shoot first because these guys had been told, according to the Bible, you can't shoot first. How about that? So Deacon Parker out there, and it's etched in stone right there in America, right there at the first battle, what Deacon Parker said. He said, do not fire unless fired upon, but if they mean war, let it begin here. And the 700 British shot at the churchmen, and 18 churchmen died. Black and white men died. What was left shot back, did not even wound a soldier. British thought, man, it's going to be pretty good. They marched on. And 300 more churchmen showed up. William Emerson showed up with his congregation. And Pastor Emerson said, they've already shot at us. We can shoot first. It's nice to get to shoot first this time. That day, 4,000 churchmen showed up. And the British said, we're in trouble. Ultimately, God allowed our country to be birthed. I keep hearing how bad America is. When I was a little boy, we sent a man to the moon. Have y'all heard about that? Amen. And Buzz Aldrin got on the moon, and he was a Presbyterian. His Presbyterian church had sent something along with him. You know what they sent along? They sent him a Bible, and they sent a communion set. And from the moon, the American astronaut observed communion and read the Bible to the world. And he told the world about Jesus shedding his blood for everybody in the world. America did that. America's not perfect at all. But brother, I could tell you story after story after story of great awakenings in America and revivals in America. America's had some preaching. And we need more preaching. Amen to that. And I want us to be in service every week of this Bible conference. And I want us to put our very best into it. Amen to all of that. Look, Israel identified with God. America has identified with God. Children, he says here. But we move quickly to D number 3. A declaration of hostilities. In this passage, the honest preacher Hosea, he's preaching honestly. See, we want the preacher to be honest with us and tell us the truth. And so Hosea is preaching honest. And it, look here in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy. Oh, there's a giant issue. The Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There's a giant problem. Now, if there is a disagreement between God and the people, who's right? God's always right. The nation's wrong. Just like our nation is wrong. We better repent. We better get right with God. God has his declaration of hostilities that we read about in this passage in verse 1. The Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants. Now, God is love. Did you know that? He's also holy. He's just. You study the Bible about the justice of God. God's retributive justice. I was doing a meeting this year in April, one of these God Bless America rallies. And we're in Somersville, West Virginia. Rented out the armory, seats 3,000, a little over 3,000 in that building. And preaching. I did 15 or 16 radio and TV live interviews. They kept CBS, ABC, they're all coming out there to do interviews. And they're asking questions about this and that. So, Mr. Fox, what is this meeting all about? We're trying to keep people from going to hell from Somersville, West Virginia. Well, that shocked the interviewer. Do what? I said, the Lord has a plan for this city. He wants everybody in this town to receive Christ. There is a hell. Jesus died for all. No one has to go to hell. But this group of Israelites, they were in big trouble with God. Let me read to you some about the wrath of God. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10 is a terrifying verse. Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. Listen, at his wrath, the earth shall tremble. And the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. No nation is big enough to fight God. We celebrate our national birthday on July the 4th and all that. And I like our history. I like the stories that I told you just a moment ago about Buzz Aldrin and all that. But what have we witnessed in the last 50 years in our country? Our nation has become openly and willfully turning away from God. We've rejected God's truth. We've denied the Word of God. A bunch of Americans even mocking his existence. We've brainwashed 3 generations of children, trying to teach them that they evolve from some primordial ooze. That's not true. And we become addicted to perversion and deviancy. And now there's a bunch of people upset that Roe versus Wade got overturned. I happen to be one that's happy it got overturned. And there's about 20 states now it's pretty hard to get an abortion in. Praise God. But all of our states need to move where, what is an abortion? An abortion is a procedure that kills a little baby boy or a little baby girl. That's what it is. How have we become so gross and vile that people like that run for high offices that believe in that? I'll tell you, it doesn't matter which party they run with, what team they're on. I'm not voting for anybody that believes in that. You do what is right between you and God, but between me and God, doesn't matter which team they're on. I'm not voting for anybody that stands for killing a baby. So we get to number 4, 4th D. A docket of transgressions. In verse 1, there's a docket. There's a whole docket of transgressions. Look at them. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. No truth. There's no truth. You know, when you reject the truth, you start believing the lies and the deceits of the devil. And you embrace things that are just simply not true. It's astounding to me. It's stunning to me that someone being interviewed by Congress, that the Tennessee senator would say to the candidate, "What is a woman?" And the candidate say, "I'm not a biologist." You know, on the surface, that's funny. But you think for a moment, that's how tragically bad America has become. That truth has fallen in the streets. I am not a biologist either, but I've got common sense and I've got a Bible. God made men and women. That's the only two kinds there are. There are not 100 different kinds of people. There is no truth. And then it says no mercy. You know, when you just leave God out, you just become self-absorbed. You know, self-ism, it's all about me. I just ignore God and I just ignore my neighbors and I ignore everybody. It's all about me. Don't have mercy on each other. Astounding how bad our country is. Same thing with Israel. Israel and America are going the same path. A docket of transgression, no truth, no mercy, and then no knowledge of God in the land. In Israel, it hit an apex where they didn't know anything about God. And that's where we are in America. I was on a plane flying from someplace to someplace. I was landing in Charlotte. I was flying within the state of North Carolina. I was flying from New Bern to Charlotte, then up to Philadelphia. It was a late Sunday evening flight. I preached there in the New Bern area. I'm trying to get to Philadelphia to start a meeting the next morning. And so I'm on the plane, and a young lady named Jessica was sitting beside me. And Jessica had a Bible. I said, "Is that a Bible?" She said, "Yes." I said, "May I see it?" She handed me her Bible. It was new. It was about 2 months old at that point, I found out. And I'm looking through there. I said, "Well, Jessica, you've been reading this." She said, "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm trying to find churches where I go." And she was young. She had just graduated in June, a month before. I said, "This is a new Bible." She said, "Yes. Where I graduated high school, there were some men standing out on the sidewalk saying, if you want a Bible, we're giving away Bibles." She said, "So I went over there and got a Bible, first Bible I've ever owned." I said, "Wonderful." I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Oh, I want the Lord." I said, "Well, have you been saved?" She said, "You mean like a coupon code or something?" I said, "No, sweet, precious young lady." I said, "No." I said, "The word saved is a Bible term. It means rescued." I said, "Like if somebody's drowning, you jump in there and save them from drowning." I said, "That's what Jesus did for me, Jessica. He saved me from going to hell." I said, "Let me tell you about it." I took that Bible and she said, "You know, my dad hates this book." I said, "I'm sorry to hear that, Jessica." She said, "My dad said this book is stupid." She said, "My dad says somewhere in here there's a man got swallowed by a fish, and my dad said that's just ridiculous." I said, "That's one of the most precious books in the whole Bible. It's the book of Jonah. And a bunch of terrorists got right with God in that passage." I said, "It only takes about 10 minutes to read that book. Jessica, you ought to read the book of Jonah." Can I tell you that on that little flight that we had, it was very, very easy to lead her to Christ. She was just ready for somebody to come along and tell her how to be saved. She had been reading the Bible. Well, we got to get our people reading the Bible in America again, don't we? It'd be a good thing if all of us would buy some Bibles and give them out to our neighbors. Most homes don't have a Bible in them anymore. Most men in America never read the Bible. May that not be true of our church men. Amen to that. But this docket of transgression, no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And we read the book of Romans chapter 1, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Oh, may God have mercy on Elizabeth City. Well, the details of the transgressions in verse 5, we're almost finished. Just stay with me. In verse 2, we have the details. Point number 5, the details of the transgression. Swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. We could spend all day discussing and detailing countless ways that our country has turned our back on God just according to that list. At our core, we know there's a God, but at our core, most Americans are not welcoming to God anymore. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, has become an unknown figure in our own country. That's why this Friend Day next Sunday is so important. Wouldn't it be something if we could do all we could this week and beg and plead and implore and get some people here that would maybe get saved next Sunday? Our neighbors, our co-workers. There's a battle for souls going on right now. Our nation is quickly becoming a heathen nation. And so we get to the last point, the doom. The doom of God's wrath. In verse 7, as they were increased, they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Well, Mr. Hosea, you've been out here preaching to us. You told us we better get right with God. But, you know, I don't think we'll do that today. We're enjoying our sin too much. Don't have time for God. Whole year goes by. Oh, Hosea, remember that message Hosea brought? I told him about that wrath of God coming. I've been a whole year. Nothing's happened. 2 years. 3 years. 5 years. 10 years. Remember that old crazy preacher? He was talking about how God's going to judge us. 20 years go by. 30 years go by. Woo, 40 years go by. And on the 50th year thereabouts, the terrorists came. And the women were ravaged. And children were killed. And they went into bondage. 50 years? Yeah. God's a patient God. Amen. What did we do 50 years ago in America, 1962? We quit reading in 1962, we quit reading this book in the government schools. I've got a friend that I'll see in a couple weeks, God willing. His name is Ned. Brother Jim, he's a 71-year-old song leader at his church. And I was talking to Ned this past week, and Ned said, you know, when I was a boy, I went to first grade and we read the Bible in school. He said, my first grade teacher get up and read the Bible to our class. Second grade teacher read the Bible to our class. My second grade teacher would say, now boys and girls, what are your prayer requests? Let's put them on the board. Public school, America. Fact. And then the year came that the teacher said, children, we're not going to read the Bible anymore in class today. We don't read the Bible in schools anymore. And in 1963, a little 22-word prayer by the Supreme Court got ruled that we shouldn't pray in school. How's that done for us? Each year, these toy giveaways and all that, I try to sing Christmas carols with the community children. Come on, everybody, let's sing Joy to the World. And they're sitting there looking at me. They've never heard Joy to the World. Okay, let's sing this one. Oh, come all ye faithful. They're all sitting there looking at me. When I sing, we wish you a... Boy, they can sing that one. They know that one. I could probably come up with secular Christmas songs that they could sing, but they don't know Christmas carols. Why? Because we've left God out. Would you stand? So doom is on its way for America if we do not have an awakening. If we do not seek the Lord while He may be found. Judgment begins at the house of God. I'm going to ask our pianist to find the song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. That's the song for invitation. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. And right now, all the men who want to come to the altar and pray that God would have mercy on our country, I want you to come right now. Just men. Come on, right now. Oh, come on, men. Let's just ask God to have some mercy on Elizabeth City. I'm not responsible for San Francisco. But you, gentlemen, are responsible. If you can't get on your knees, just come and stand. It's fine. All the men that want to come. Now, ladies, where you stand, would you not implore the Lord to have mercy on us and to send us a great awakening, that America would wake up?